This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and
Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Can't play it, talk a number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mike, EB, Pete the Body across the way, AB with your updates as we roll 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. Sirius at XM Channel 206, the app as well. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz the Moose, at Mark Malusis with a C, at Official Taz with 1Z. Coming up later on this hour, about 40 minutes from now, we're going to talk about the PGA Championship, fourth and final major on the men's golf tour, as we will discuss that with David Doucette. Golf Week will join Taz and myself, but we kick off the third and final hour with the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The NCAA announces sweeping reforms for college basketball.
Yeah, and there's a question about how impactful they will be. You run through a couple of them. Players who get invited to the NBA Combine but go undrafted in the NBA Draft will have the option to return to their former school. Elite prospects will now be allowed to have official relationships with agents. How you define elite prospects, the age when a player can sign with an agent, is still up for discussion. NCAA is requiring all school presidents, chancellors, and athletic staff members to contractually comply with any and all future investigations. Presidents and chancellors will now be held personally responsible, accountable by the NCAA for their athletic departments abiding by the rules. The NCAA now can use information gathered by a third party in their own investigation. The recruiting calendar has changed, so they did not work with the NBA or the Players Association, Taz, before Emmert and the NCAA announced these quote-unquote widespread rule changes.
Yeah, and the thing that jumps out, we talked about this earlier, Moose, is that the underclassmen in college that put their name into that draft, if they don't get drafted by an NBA team, they can go back to school if not drafted. And now, how does that impact certain programs? How does that impact, this is what we were discussing earlier, from a scholarship perspective, from a financial perspective? So that kid leaves, and he goes, he's going to go into the NBA draft, but it doesn't happen. So now the school welcomes him back with open arms. And we think this is a great thing. We both agree on this one, that, hey, it's cool that kids get a chance to go back to school. But what happens to the scholarship? Now that scholarship, these things are not like candy. They just give them out like crazy. These things are allocated for a certain amount of kids and players and money and yada, yada. So once you're going to go in the draft, does that mean your scholarship's on hold? That's the stuff we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The payment is your scholarship on hold. They didn't really address the elephant in the room, and that is paying athletes.
Players. Yeah.
And I know it would not just impact college basketball; it would impact college football. It would impact really every Division I college athlete that is out there. When you look at Title IX as well, Taz. So they didn't address that. Does it? I do like the fact, something we talked about, I do like the fact if a player makes a wrong decision, goes into the draft, goes undrafted, that they can go back to that college,
yes,
get their education,
yeah, me too,
continue their college basketball career, because we all make mistakes, and certainly life is short. It goes quick, and if you make a bad decision, it shouldn't affect you the rest of your life as well. You should be able to go back and finish off your college career. So I do like that aspect. I think cheaters are always going to cheat. I think holding chancellors and presidents responsible, now are they going to be a little stronger in their leadership over athletic departments? But what can you expect a school president to do? Mm. When you look at an athletic department, you hire somebody, an AD, to run the athletic department.
Right.
You're entrusting them. Now, so you're telling me that if a program comes under investigation, that a president and chancellor could get fired, right? They can't put their head in the sand.
Yeah.
However, you can't be everything to everyone. You can't be everywhere.
No.
You're not going to be able. You mean to tell me a school president's going to know how a particular college football coach, or in this instance basketball, is going out to recruiting players? You can't know that.
Well, no, you can't. But, I am telling you from experience as a parent, that from a lacrosse perspective, that the coaches we dealt with, and we dealt with a good amount back in the day here, not too long ago, a few years ago, they are all very concerned. They all watch themselves with the rule, like as far as recruiting, to your point. They're not, like, it's not as loosey-goosey. It can be, but it's not. I mean, I got to tell you, the coaches we dealt with, it was definitely not like that at all. And club coaches, too. They're also... Because, you know, you can't, until the kid's a certain age, the kid or the parent can't have direct contact, text or call with a coach or, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a little bit more, I get what you're saying. No, how's anybody going to know?
You know, here's what it would affect.
It's just too risky, you know.
Well, here's what it would affect. It would affect the guy that got fired for violating rules changes in the past that had success. It would affect, say, a Larry Brown. It would affect, say, Rick Pitino. It would affect a guy getting a second or third chance. Because let me ask you this, Taz. I'm a school president. I'm at a big time. I'm at a Division I basketball powerhouse. I'm looking for a head coach. But if I know, conceivably speaking, my job is on the line, and I'm going to give... I know this guy can win, but I know he's had recruiting violations every other place he's been at, and that program has been... They've won, but they've also maybe had victories taken away. Maybe they had a championship banner taken down. But initially, they had success. Am I going to run the risk of hiring that guy and bringing him into my university?
Maybe
probably
all
not.
All those changes sweeping? Yeah, no.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe that guy doesn't get the second, third, fourth opportunity.
No.
Maybe they don't. I mean, but... Other than that, it grabbed some headlines.
Yeah.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
It definitely is.
I think the committee's intent was in the right place. Is it going to have the lasting impact? In some instances, I think it will. In some instances, probably not.
All right, let's go with number two, please.
Number two.
Nick Saban responds to Jalen Hurts' comment.
He does. And if you missed it, let's take a listen to Jalen Hurts Monday on the quarterback battle down in Alabama.
Regardless of what people are saying, I'm still here. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my job is to be the best quarterback I can be, and that's what I strive to do every day.
So you were surprised when things were worded how they were at media days?
I'd say so. And the spring has been so... No, it went the way it did, but for me, like I said, I was kind of like, you know, I'm not saying anything. So for me, when I look at the things that are being said, and I'm not looking for it, it just comes to me. When I see that those things are being said, I'm like, no, that's silly, because you know, he said this, he said that, maybe Coach Saban said this, whoever said whatever, what did Jalen say? Not a thing.
Did you want to say something, I mean, during this whole time to kind of clarify your position?
Well, I think, like I said, they didn't want me to talk for whatever reason. I get the opportunity to speak now, and I mean, I've always tried to handle situations like this and handle speaking the best way that I can, because in the day, I'm representing myself and I'm representing my family back home.
See what he says there? He says they didn't want me to speak. Now, I didn't catch that the first time we played this earlier today, but my stance is I don't think he should be talking publicly right now. He's a junior. He's arguably fighting for a starting quarterback spot there at University of Alabama. I don't think he should be saying anything public. I think anybody, either his family or the AD's office or the coaches or somebody should say it's not a good idea. But for him, for Jalen right there to say, they didn't want me to speak. That don't sound good. It's, you know, I get his point. He's talking about Alabama.
Yeah, the coaching staff, right.
And
we gave you the comments earlier where Nick Saban, SEC Media Day, said he had no idea if Hurts would be on the roster opening day. Also said the coaching staff has not come up to him at all, asked him what's his thought process, anything and the like. People are making decisions and throwing stuff out there. without his knowledge. So I can understand, and I feel for Jalen Hurts, 26-2 as an Alabama starting quarterback, and basically in a national championship game, struggled. The backup, backup quarterback steps in and stars, helps him win a national championship, and basically, for all intents and purposes, your run at Alabama comes to an end. Did the good fight, going to graduate in December, went in there and competed. In all likelihood, he's not going to be the week one starter. But he's not that kind of a dynamic quarterback. So, Tez, you feel for Hurts. You'd like Alabama to handle him a little bit differently than he is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this guy, we talked about Jalen Hurts earlier. He's done a lot of really awesome things for Alabama football as a quarterback there. And like I said earlier, he's put asses in the seats, man. He's drawn money for them. Let's be honest, he has. At least they owe him. Don't treat him like a number. Don't just treat him like a punk. Talk to him. You know, talk to the kid during the offseason. Say something to him, but they didn't do that. Whatever. It is what it is. Coaches coach the way they want to coach. I get it. It's big-time college football. It's big-time money there. And, you know, I don't know. I'm shocked that he's still there, Jalen Hurts. I thought he was going to transfer. I thought during the offseason, before camp started here, I thought that he was going to be gone. I thought for sure he would transfer out of there and go someplace else just because of, you know, what happened with Tua in the national championship and how good he played. And we talked about it right after the game happened on our show. You know, we talked about, like, well what's going to happen now?
Yeah, we did right after that national championship game. And I was probably in agreement. I forget what I said initially, whether or not Jalen Hurts would be back in
Alabama. I'm sure you agree with me. You always agree with me.
Yes.
Always.
Always, right. Always. Always. I think for him, he stays at Alabama, and he's probably loses the starting quarterback job. Tua is now going to be your starter moving forward, and he just wants to make sure that everything's handled properly and doesn't like the messaging that's being sent out there. All right, number three.
Yeah, three.
Number three.
Les Snead's as Rams and Aaron Donald in the same zip code, area code, ballpark.
Nice. Well, there you go. Well, hopefully he gets paid. Reportedly, they offered him, on average, $20 million annually. He wanted more. And Aaron Donald due to make a tad over $6 million final year of his initial rookie contract. We passed the Tuesday deadline as we sit here on this Thursday morning. And as we have discussed the past couple of days, Taz, they've paid a lot of people. They have yet to pay Aaron Donald, which is surprising.
Yeah, he's going to
be surprising.
I agree with you. Aaron Donald, he will end up being the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. That's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think currently Von Miller's the guy who has that with a $114 million deal that he signed in 2016. But listen, man, this guy here is the real dealio. He is a nasty D lineman that just is a game changer, nightmare for offensive coordinators and offensive line coaches for sure. This guy is he's a stud. Pay him. His contract's probably, you said, it's going to be like $20 million, right? It's going to be north of $20 million, probably.
Yeah, he reportedly, they offered him that kind of a deal. He turned it down. He wanted more money.
Wow.
So, but it's not the average annual per year. It's the guaranteed money.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Pittsburgh Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell. They were going to pay him a boatload of cash, but it was only $30 million guaranteed. Gurley just got $45 million guaranteed. Now, Gurley got his deal after Le'Veon Bell's contract negotiations fell apart. But don't look at the annual average per year and say, well, they're paying him. Look at the guaranteed money. That's what guys are looking at. The more guaranteed money, the better.
Of course, because if your career can end in one play. So you want that guaranteed dime. It's very important. It's vital. It's everything. I can tell you, as a wrestler, the guaranteed money was always my biggest thing in my contracts. But, the good thing is the head coach there for the Rams, Sean McVay, and Aaron Donald have been talking a little bit. So they have a pretty good dialogue going, apparently.
Got to pay him.
Right. Got to pay him. At least they're talking, unlike...
Well, it's good.
Unlike in the Raiderville.
Well, it's good that... Yeah, right. It's good that Les Snead is saying that they're in the same zip code, town, whatever it might be. They've got to get that deal done sooner rather than later, because you cannot have them missing a significant portion of the regular season or playing as just six games this year, something like that, to accrue the calendar year so he can become become a restricted free agent following the season. If you want to make it to the Super Bowl, and the Rams are all in on this season, Taz, you need Aaron Donald there week one.
Well, yeah, you paid Gurley, you brought Sue in, right? They paid Sue.
Right.
Who am I missing? There's somebody else.
Marcus Peters.
Peters, right.
Yeah, Akeem Talib.
So Talib, I forgot about him. Yeah, so they're paying guys.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, so, right, Cooks too. Yeah, so is there any money left there?
Yeah, well, and that's where you have to play. You have a salary cap expert who works the numbers and makes it work. But I would imagine they've got some money to pay Aaron Donald. But it's good to hear the negotiations are going well.
Yes.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Coming up straight ahead, Bogish with an update. Some early leftovers as well. David Dusek will join us. Geez. Golf Week a little later on in the program, too. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
Get the latest news and information on your favorite NFL team right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Yeah!
It's very much like a ship.
I got a little lyricosis.
Yeah.
Born.
Oh, great
just
show.
A good old boy.
Love the show.
I was
bending the curve. You watched the Moose?
I did, yes. I was very young at the time.
Oh,
but yes,
man.
I did.
The best. Bo and Luke Duke.
Yeah, Boss Hogg.
Yep, Boss Hogg.
Yeah.
And they had Uncle Jesse. Uncle Jesse. And there was a young lady.
Just thinking, we could put a white hat on you. You could pass as Boss Hogg.
No.
Put a cigar in your mouth.
Look at AB doing the radio guy third voice.
I'm sorry.
You got a horn?
Going to no, you could be Boss Hogg, and AB could be Roscoe Pico Train.
No, you could be
Roscoe Pico Train.
Roscoe Pico Train.
No, it would be fitting. You have the same complexion as Boss Hogg.
No, I don't.
Yes,
I
you do.
I would be.
Stick a white hat on you.
No,
I'll buy the hat.
And put a cigar. You love to smoke cigars and drink. Boss
that's
Hogg,
true.
That's all he did.
Yeah, pound beers.
And smoke cigars.
I'd be Luke Duke.
Well, get you a white. No, come on.
I'd be Luke Duke.
Let's be realistic here.
Pete's Luke Duke.
Put a white suit on you.
Good looking like a
white suit.
I don't
put that hat
suits.
On you. You got the same hairline as Boss Hogg.
I think it
works.
It's getting real.
I love Boss Hogg. He's
Dude,
got a
that
big
would
Cadillac.
Be, maybe for Halloween.
Maybe I'll get the big Cadillac like Boss Hogg.
Maybe for Halloween.
Boss Hogg.
How about this? For Halloween, AB will be Roscoe Pico Train. You're Boss Hogg.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Bilotti will be Daisy Duke.
What the
same,
hell?
Same attire, too.
Right.
What just
short
happened?
Shorts, everything.
I wish they wore the jean shorts.
Mm. Just a good
with half
boy.
His rear end hanging out.
Sexy Jones.
Right.
Oof, I don't know about that, but I hear yeah. Well, anyway, it was a great show for you.
Sexy Jones.
Moose just ruined it.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
We ruined a bit. Mark, the bit killer Malusis.
Boss Hawk. You are. What are you talking about, bit killer? I played along. You don't even know what that means.
Killed a
I'm
bit.
Take it away, AB. You don't even know what that means.
I know what it means. I know what it means. Like, shit next every day. I know
like,
what it means.
You didn't know.
You
didn't like. You didn't like me. You didn't like me taking the bit in another direction, making it funny.
No, I just let me handle a bit. Let me handle a bit. You don't handle a bit. I'll handle a bit.
Sure.
People are like, what's a bit?
Stop.
Hey, Janet, what's a bit?
Relax. Take a deep breath for yourself. Don't be so sensitive.
I'm very sensitive. You yes. are sensitivity city.
Physically strong, mentally weak.
Mentally weak.
J.R. J.R. talked about all wrestlers.
No, listen, J.R. He's just joking around.
No, he wasn't.
That
was a quote. He said all wrestlers.
Now you'll just lock that in. That's for the rest of your life.
No doubt.
That's because J.R.
I was talking to an expert.
People joke around.
He wasn't joking.
Oh, my God. You know him better than me now.
I would.
You know the man. You're telling me you're implying you know him better than me.
I didn't apply that.
I traveled with man for years.
He said,
why am I yelling at you?
He said all wrestlers are physically strong, mentally weak.
He's joking around, Moose.
I said, okay, great, thank you.
It was funny when he said it. Now you're ruining it.
No, it's
damn
no, it. I'm not.
Bit killer.
Oh, stop! Don't be dopey.
I'm not. AB, what's going on, guy?
Thank
what's
you.
Your bit rate?
Bit rate.
Yeah. Take it away, Andrew.
Moose Boss, your report's brought
boss.
To you by Barbasol.
Just a good old
After
boss.
100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol's finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer.
Ooh.
Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. The NCAA apparently caught the NBA and USA Basketball With yesterday's announcement of rule changes that affect all three completely off guard, the trio had shared ideas, but the other two didn't think the NCAA was ready to act. The NBA isn't ready yet to do away with its one-and-done rule, and USA Basketball apparently wants no part of determining which players are elite, which would allow them to hire agents. They are on the course at Bellevue in St. Louis. The 100th PGA Championship is just underway. Phil Mickelson starting his tournament at the top of the hour. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas tee off at 7:23 Mountain Time. Jordan Spieth among those with afternoon tee times. The PGA is the last major Spieth needs to win. He hopes to give himself a chance this week.
Look at Jack Nicklaus's career, and there's a perfect example of it with 19 seconds and 18 majors and, I don't know, probably 40 top fives. I don't know the exact numbers, but point is you put yourself in position enough, it'll go your way, and sometimes it won't, and it's easier to accept if that's the way you look at it.
Spieth has top 10 finishes this year at the Masters and the British Open. A young man named Ryan Fox has the very early lead at the PGA. He is 2-under through his first two holes. The Cleveland Indians blew a lead in the top of the ninth inning, allowing Francisco Lindor to be a hero in the bottom half.
Lindor, as the runner goes, swings and drives it! Deep right field! Goal!
Tom Hamilton on Indians Radio. Cleveland beat Minnesota 5-2. Giancarlo Stanton's grand slam helped the Yankees sweep the White Sox 7-3. The Red Sox dropped the Blue Jays 10-5. The Royals 9, the Cubs nothing, and the A's topped the Dodgers 3-2. The Brewers handled the Padres 8-4. An 8-3 win for Atlanta in Washington, and the Cardinals beat the Marlins 7-1. Matt Carpenter, his NL-leading 31st homer. And Minnesota Vikings wideout Stephon Diggs and corner Xavier Rhodes did not practice yesterday, apparently as punishment for too much trash-talking in Tuesday's workout. Head coach Mike Zimmer would only say, quote, "They did not make me happy." Boys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's get to some leftovers.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right. Take it away, Mike.
Aaron Rodgers did an interview with The Ringer and said he had some ways to fix the NFL. He suggested a soft cap similar to the NBA, increase the luxury tax, and also no more franchise tags.
I mean, what's with Aaron Rodgers? Why don't you stop already, dude? Go play football. You're in the camp. Worry about getting on the same page as your young wide receivers. Stop.
Well, franchise tags, you get away with that. So that's giving you more. The owners would never want that, and the executives, because it's giving the players more opportunity to hit unrestricted free agency. I can understand the soft cap. I mean, they're all player-friendly examples. Well, to an extent. I mean, soft cap, higher luxury tax would penalize if you go over the soft cap, similar to what they do in the NBA. And you can reset it, say, in the Major League Baseball, dollar for dollar, dollar and a half for dollar, depending on how much you are over the salary cap, and then the franchise tag. It's interesting. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but he's trying to be a progressive thinker.
I know, but it's just like everybody is. We were talking about this earlier. I don't really see anything really wrong. I mean, as an NFL fan, and the amount of money these guys are making, if they, you know, and all that, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. As long as they're working hard, which they seem like they all do, they're all pushing through and trying to do the right thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with the NFL. So why is everybody always trying to fix the NFL?
Well, I mean,
the rules are different, like with the refs and stuff. That's a whole different story.
Well, you would think something's wrong if you're Le'Veon Bell when you're looking for that contract. I mean, that's really what he's talking about, more so than anything else. He's looking at it in terms of making it a little bit more player-friendly moving forward in terms of player rights, especially in free agency when they hit unrestricted free agency. The timing of that, the age of that, all comes into the amount of money that you're going to make. Again, from a fan's perspective, you just want guys out on the football field. From Rodgers' perspective, a player's perspective, you obviously want to play, but you're looking at it a little bit differently, too.
All right, next.
Ooh, oh!
Tommy Fleetwood recently finished 12th at the Open, and he was owed about, well, I don't know, $150,000.
Yes.
Except the money was transferred to the wrong Tommy Fleetwood. A teacher
That's
was
fantastic.
In, saw 150 grand in his bank pop up.
That's awesome. That is a fantastic story. It really is.
It's got to be another Taz. You know, like, and I get the money put to me that's not supposed to go to me. But I would say this is not my money.
There is another Taz in this company.
Actually, I knew that.
Yes, there is. Remember the email?
The email. There was an issue where this person was getting my emails.
Yeah. Right. Out west, I believe, somewhere.
All right, we need to find this person. He needs to be removed. That's a whole nother story. I'm going to get serious here. I'm going to get nuts. I'm the only Taz. Just me. I am Taz. Me. Nobody else. But yeah, Tommy Fleetwood. Shame. $150,000. The guy's a school teacher, said the other guy?
Yeah, school teacher.
Something else.
Hopefully we'll get the money. But yeah, it's great. Imagine open up your bank account and see an extra 150 grand in it on a particular day.
That'd be beautiful.
Like you hit the lotto. That's
just
fantastic.
Just an extra buck and a half, as we call it in the high-end white-collar world. We call it a buck and a half. What I would probably go and buy myself maybe some new rims for my Bugatti. Hmm. Or maybe like a hood ornament for my... You know, Ferrari, something cool, you know, like
nice.
That.
Highly relatable.
I don't Next.
Yeah. Jacob DeGrom is really good at baseball. Yesterday, he lowered his ERA to 1.77. Would you be able to give him the Cy Young with a below 500 win-loss record?
Yes, absolutely. He's the best pitcher in the National League. Scherzer's had a great year. His whip is a little lower. His strikeouts are a little higher. ERA... is in the twos. Yeah, DeGrom's is 1.77. But eyeball test. He's been better than Nola with the Phillies, even though here's 12-3. And all due respect to Scherzer, who's been a phenomenal pitcher for the Nats. And he's had a great year. There's no knocking Max Scherzer.
No.
Best pitcher in the National League this year, though, has been Jacob DeGrom. So even if he has a losing record, he got his first victory yesterday for the Mets, an 8-0 win since June 18th. Like 7 weeks.
Well,
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Had a little help.
Completely and utterly embarrassing.
It's horrible. And listen, he's not had all, to your point, he's had all the success, how great he's played all year and pitched all year without help. Without help. He's been dominant without resources, without components around him that can help him win games. I mean, it's how he keeps himself inspired is very impressive. It's tough to work around people that you really are disappointed in. Every day.
Yeah. Well, if you look at DeGrom's comments yesterday, and it was great, very refreshing for a guy that certainly has been frustrated this year at times. You heard his agent at the All-Star break mention the very fact of that he wants to either get traded or get paid. The Mets are going to have to pay him after the season. He talked about winning games, the most important thing. He doesn't need to get the wins as long as the team wins. And he said his goal each and every day and every time he toes the rubber, get better as a pitcher and certainly prevent the other team from scoring and takes it as an individual challenge. The margin for error for DeGrom is very small as compared to the other guys like Nola and with Max Scherzer because those guys have better baseball teams. So DeGrom makes DeGrom's year that much more impressive. So, yeah, best pitcher in the National League for my money. Watch him start in, start out.
No doubt. Cy Young Jones.
Next.
I am Taz.
I am the Moose.
Final one from me here. What did you make of LeBron rocking the purple and gold? How did he look?
Looked pretty good.
Yeah, looked nice.
Looked pretty good. I got to say, he looked pretty good.
They're
going to move a lot of merch. That means they're going to sell a lot of jerseys. They're going to make a lot of money out there in L.A. with this guy. A lot of money. It's happening already. You going to get yourself a LeBron jersey, Moose?
I will not, no.
No,
you're
not.
How about you? You going to get one?
Nah. Maybe I'll get a T-shirt. I look good in athletic gold. Maybe I'll get a T-shirt with purple number 23 on it.
Nice,
in
the back. T-shirts always go over well.
You can't go wrong.
PGA Championship is underway. First round is underway. David Dusek is going to join us coming up straight ahead. Well, you want me to bring?
Nah, I was straight in the middle of. You just cut me off, like you know.
I thought you were done. You said you were going
to. Nah, I was going to go into a whole diatribe about T-shirts.
Oh. David Dusek is going to join us coming up straight ahead. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Justin Thomas, coming off a great win this past weekend, gets ready to defend his title as the world's best, including Tiger, Phil, DJ, Jason Day, Ricky, and Rory, all eye the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. It's the season's final major, the 100th PGA Championship, this weekend, only on CBS. And let's talk a little bit about the PGA Championship, shall we? And let's welcome aboard David Doucette, Golf Week senior writer, St. Louis we go. David, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Dave?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, David. Doing well. Tell us a little bit about, first and foremost, for people that are not familiar with the course, tell us a little bit about the course and what we can expect over the course of the next 4 days.
Sure. This is a golf course, Bellevue Country Club, which is the way, if you played it from the tips, would be about 7,300 and change yards. So it's long, but it's not crazy long by PGA Tour standards these days. It's going to be played at par 70, which means only two par fives. And typically that means scoring is a little bit more difficult. Par fives for really good players are scoring chances. Those are birdie holes, maybe in an eagle. But what really happened over the course of the beginning of the week and really over the last week or so here in the St. Louis area is that it just got inundated with rain, and the golf course is soft. And what a soft golf course means is that it plays longer than the actual yards on the cart. It also plays wider because the ball, when we were at the British Open a month ago, the ball would bounce and just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. And if the hole curves, dog legs to the left or dog straight, you'll go right through the fairway and into the rough. Here, that's not going to happen as much. So there's a big advantage at Bellevue, I think, this week for players who really send the ball out there off the driver and really have a lot of distance. Now, theoretically, shorter players should be able to hit long clubs into the greens and hold them. And the greens here are massive, so there's plenty of room. But I think that this is really going to be a bomber's paradise, and I look for guys to take it really low. I think we're going to see a lot of birdies. We're going to see eagles out here potentially on those par fives. It's going to be some pretty low scoring, I think, this week at Bellevue.
So, David, let's jump into, man, Tiger Woods, right? Which Tiger Woods do you think we're going to see today?
I have no idea. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I mean, I can sit here and pretend like I've got some insidery info, which I wish I did, but I think that there has been inconsistency with Tiger. Now, first and foremost, I'm grateful that he's healthy, and we've been getting as much Tiger Woods as we have this year, because there were, for a long time, we didn't know when and where we might ever see him play again. But
right.
At the beginning of the year, Tiger putted great, but he didn't drive it well. Then the iron game came into play. The putting went south, but the driving has still been a question mark. The putting's getting better again. The iron game is looking pretty good. But here, I think it's just how well he drives the ball off the tee. He has got the speed and the distance to be able to keep up with guys like Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson and some of those guys. He hits it remarkably far for a guy who's had four back surgeries, but he's wayward. He misses left. He misses right. He has not put, you know, the whole package together for more than, say, one round here or there. And to win a major championship, you really have to play, you know, three really good rounds and have maybe one round that isn't quite your A game, but it keeps you in contention. So he doesn't have to be perfect. No one's going to be perfect out there. But I just haven't seen the level of consistency that I really would want to see. But we might see it this week.
So you know,
who knows?
Dave, what about dealing with the – because I thought at Bridgestone and, he didn't look the same, you know, physically, dealing with some inflammation. What about Tiger in terms of where he is health-wise physically right now? Because he's played a lot of golf this year.
He has played a lot of golf this year, and he really had a goal in mind of getting himself to the Bridgestone. To qualify for that tournament last week, he had to get to the top 50 in the world. And he did it on the number. And so he achieved one of the goals he had. He had won at that golf course 8 times. It was really a track that he just owns and dominated. But you're right. I think that he looked a little bit listless. He didn't have the bounce in his step. He didn't seem to have the energy, certainly on the weekend. And some of the heat may have zapped him a little bit. Some of his mental fatigue may have zapped him a little bit. He still may be thinking about a lost opportunity at the British Open. We had the lead on the back nine Sunday. Francesco Molinari, his playing partner, winning that tournament. He just didn't have it. He said he's taken a bunch of ice baths. He's taken a lot of rest. Nobody here has played a lot of practice holes because of the rain that we get, about an inch of rain on Tuesday that really shortened the day.
Right.
Everybody tried to jam it in there, but he should be rested and mentally ready to go for the last major starting this morning.
Hey, so, Dave, what about Phil Mickelson, man? Is he still a draw? I mean, what do you think?
Absolutely. Mickelson is one of the most popular players on the PGA Tour. I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame. He's popular wherever he goes. After the Shinnecock debacle and that whole incident, I was wondering if there might be some backlash, but really there has not been. I can tell you that I was out there, and even as he was leaving for the parking lot on Sunday, people were cheering, yelling out his name. I mean, he was nowhere close to contention in the golf tournament, but the fans still love him. People still really dig him, and Phil has had a solid year. He won a World Golf Championship in Mexico back in March. Hasn't really been a factor since the U.S. Open. Really, you know, I don't look for him to be here. He hasn't had a top 10 since May. It's been a little while now. And he is also somebody who is not an especially good driver of the golf ball right now. He putts lights out. I mean, the putter's been saving him all season. But I don't know how well he's going to do here unless he finds a lot more fairways.
How about JT trying to repeat?
I think he's got a great chance. I think he is just an absolute stud. And, you know, we had Brooks Koepka win back-to-back U.S. Opens. I think there's a very good chance, based on the way that Justin Thomas owned Firestone Country Club last weekend, that he goes back-to-back and wins back-to-back PGA championships. There is nothing not to like about his game, and running some stats for an article that I put up on Golf Week earlier this week, he is statistically playing at a higher level right now than he did last year. And last year, he ends up winning the PGA Championship, winning the overall FedEx Cup and the $10 million prize, and winning the Player of the Year award. So you're going to have to look really, really long and nitpick a lot of things to find a reason not to like Justin Thomas's chances this week.
Hey, David, what about, like, potentially, let's just say, like a first-time breakout guy? Is there someone that could be that?
Well, you know, there's a couple of them that sort of come right to mind. John Rahm is going to be a really hot pick. He's a young Spanish player. He's not the greatest putter, but he's streaky. Tons of power, lots of emotion, easy to remember, super nice guy. He's going to win multiple majors. Now, whether he wins this week or not, I don't know. But one of the things I think he has going for him is that this championship, more than any other major, is sort of like a regular week-to-week PGA Tour event. You don't get the crazy weather that we get at the British. You don't get the lightning-fast greens like we typically get at the U.S. Open or the Masters. So he's won PGA Tour events already. He feels comfortable and feels like he is an elite player. I think Rahm could do well. I also look a little bit maybe for Paul Casey, who has, at 15 in the world, he is somebody who has, again, no weaknesses in his game, has been around for a long time, so I don't think that if he gets into the lead that he will sort of shy.
I think we lost David.
See
if we can get him back.
We'll get him back. Yeah. He just such great insight, and I love his energy for the game. You know, he brings the energy, not just tons of insight, he brings the proper energy. You know, which is great. I mean, and he's so dialed in. He's so dialed into all of these athletes because the way he covers the sport and as the Golf Week senior writer like that. So on a course rater, too. So it's great that you asked that first question about the course itself, and he broke down about how much the rain
well,
and all
gave
that stuff.
You a good feel in terms of, in the length of it and how it's going to play. And he thinks because of all the rain, it's going to play into it to where you can attack pins and you're going to be able to. But your ball's not also going to be able to carry as much. It's going to be lead the guys that have great ball flight and everything and the like. So, I mean, it's interesting with Tiger. The fact that Tiger has played this much golf this year, I think, is great. I thought at the Bridgestone, as we discussed, at the British, at the U.S. Open, at the Masters, I thought he looked healthy. At the Bridgestone, Taz, I didn't think he looked particularly healthy.
Right, no, I agree.
Not saying that he was hurt. He was just... He looked like he was worn down a little bit.
Yeah,
he's in his 40s. He's gone through a lot of surgeries. He was
and
even asked the
question.
He was even asked the question about how you feel, and he says, "Oh, I feel great," and gave you a little bit of a smile. So it'll be interesting to see what Tiger can do out there in St. Louis over the course of the next 4 days.
It will be, and it's interesting. We had David on in the past.
He's back with us now.
He's back with us.
Yeah.
David, we had better connection with you when you were like, where was the last time you were we talked to you? Where were you?
I think the U.S. Open.
I don't know, but this is what happens when a Cub fan goes to St. Louis.
Well, that's true. You're right about that. The phone. That's true. You're right about that. They'll cut the Cub fan off. David, what about, you mentioned in terms of the amount of rain the course has gotten. I would think that plays well then to a guy that can absolutely hit a country mile like Dustin Johnson, no? And he is gone.
Well, we'll have to get him next time. I don't know what's going on. He just has a bad connection. But we had him on. Where was he last time? He was in...
He was at the U.S. Open. He was at Shinnecock.
He was in Shinnecock. All the way out in the Hamptons. In New York.
But we also... Didn't we also have him on for the Masters?
Yeah.
And he talked about the egg salad sandwiches.
And that was in the U.K. What was that? The Masters? That was down in Augusta.
Augusta. Yeah.
And we had a better connection with Augusta. Better in Hamptons. And what's going on with Missouri?
I don't know.
It's all right. It's okay. It's no
bad
problem.
Bad area. Where it might be. Bad cell phone
reception. He thinks, of course, he's a Cubs fan and he's calling New York. That's not it.
Not enough towers out there.
Not enough towers. They need more. But it's okay. These things happen. But we appreciate him. And we might have him back on. I don't know. We might not. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
We'd love to at least say goodbye to him. We want to get him back on to say goodbye.
All right. He's back with us. David, are you with us?
This is getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah, this is out of control. David.
It's Mike's fault.
We'll ask you two more quickies before I let you go. Number one, how about Dustin Johnson with the course conditions? He can hit a country mile. What about his chances? That's ridiculous.
We tap. This is now called in the wrestling business, or the mixed martial arts business. We tap.
It's almost like right when Bilotti locked him in, he went.
Yeah, I think Dave's playing a little game with us. No, he's hanging up on us, bro.
That might be... I've done that on an interview. Some of the worst, like, 2-3 minutes right there. Ever.
Dude, I've done that on an interview with a guy. Guy interviewing me, and I kept hanging up, blaming the cell because I didn't like the guy. I never talked about that publicly, and I won't say his name.
Wow, really?
He had a Saturday morning show with a female on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, nice, yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't do that to you, but I've done that before.
So. No, I know. We're promoting your specials on Sunday nights.
PGA Championship in Missouri. It's going to be great. David Dusek, we appreciate you coming on, my friend, but we lost you again, so it's our fault, not yours. It's okay.
Our boss is probably like, no, please stop. Please stop going back to him. It's over. That's it.
You tried it
once, twice, three times. That's got to be it. That's got to be it. Right. I just wanted to get his pick. Wanted to see who he liked to win.
Get him back. Well, shoot him a tweet. Well, you're not on Twitter anymore.
John Rahm.
You can't really tweet.
No, yeah, I am.
Nah, at night you tweet pictures of from other studios.
I do.
Walls.
I do.
I saw your picture.
From SMY?
You tweeted a picture of a corridor.
I did, a hallway.
That was riveting. That was an amazing photo. It was a hallway.
Mm.
Tell them people to hang a photo up at least in a hallway.
No, it's white walls. No, it's not white walls.
Was it a dentist office?
No, it's SMY. You have numbers of famous Mets on the side.
Well, I respect that as a Mets fan, so. But I'm just saying, like,
studio.
Tweet that.
Yeah.
And you're tweeting out a picture of an empty hallway.
But if you read the tweet, it makes sense.
And you got to be begged to tweet something from this show. Yeah, you didn't want to exercise. It was a long walk. You and John Hine. I read it. I know.
You're locked in.
I know. I pay attention to your social media. You don't look at mine. You don't have to.
Yesterday I was busy.
Oh, I'm not. I'm never busy. I just have one of the most successful podcasts in podcast history.
I'm not saying.
Exaggeration.
Well, that's a little much.
A little bit of exaggeration.
Right. But.
Tad.
It's a good podcast, Tad. Yes, it's not the greatest ever.
Right. It goes hand in hand. Anyway, let's get to the Dusek pick.
So I got one from him right now. Justin Thomas this week and Tony Finau is his long shot.
Oh, Tony Finau and Justin Thomas.
Nah, Tony Finau's not. He's done. No. That's his long shot, you said? Finau.
Finau's the long
shot. I call him Finau.
Finau.
Whatever you want to do. It's all good. But this has been a great show.
Yeah, it has been. Our thanks to the Dungies for joining us earlier on in studio in the 7 o'clock Eastern Time Hour. Our thanks to David Dusek Golf Week as well. Enjoy the PGA. Gets going today out there in St. Louis, Missouri. Our thanks to Mikey B, Pete the Body, AB. With the updates and guys as well and gals as well for tuning in each and every day. We out. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.